Oompa Loompa Doopity Dee, Taking You For Granted is back, baby. Hello and welcome to Hughes News, a Taking You For Granted bonus podcast. In this show, we aim to keep you right up to date with everything to do with the bumbling Brit, from an announcement he's signed on to do a new project, right down to a saucy tweet. If it's big Hugh Grant news, we want you to know about it. I'm Degree Waite, and today I'll be chatting BAFTA Awards, The Regime, Pop-Tarts and more with my fellow horse and hound correspondent, Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing a lot better after hearing you come up with that line, Diggs. That really was a bonus. For those of you who don't know what Diggory is referring to, Hugh Grant broke the internet a couple of weeks ago at the BAFTA Awards by coming up with two very clever lines about how all the films were too long. And Diggory just did our own little rendition there.
It was for the Best Director category, which he was saying he wasn't best pleased with, which obviously, spoiler alert, Christopher Nolan won in the end for Oppenheimer. How do you feel about that? We watched it together, actually. I forgot.
I know. That's why I laughed, because I don't know how funny this story is, but a sort of funny story is that Diggory came all the way to Canada to visit me, and instead of looking at the natural beauty of the mountains while we were camping, he insisted that we go and watch a 3-hour movie instead, which definitely split the group at the time. But to be fair to Diggory, it was raining, and I think we actually we timed it perfectly. We went for the 3-hour window where it was raining, watched the movie, came out, and then it was fine again. So I don't know. I felt like probably Oppenheimer is probably the best movie this year, but I don't know if I really, really loved it. I have seen it twice, actually.
So have I. The first time I watched it, I thought Robert Downey Jr.'s character, could that have been played by Hugh Grant? Probably. maybe should have been, in fact. That would have been fun. Or just, I'm just thinking Hugh Grant as Oppenheimer, you know, going around thinking, what have I done? Oh dear, I've created this bomb that might kill everyone. Fuck.
I think it would be hilarious watching him do that. I feel like his internal, like, dialogue would be intense. Even more intense than Cillian Murphy's.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, when giving out that award, Hugh Grant was referencing his role in Wonka, which we also saw together. And I think we just need to take this moment of the episode as well to say to those of you that have heard our review of Wonka, firstly, thank you for listening. But also, we do apologise for a slight mistake on our part with the ranking at the end that we did.
Yes, we seriously messed up, and clearly neither of us are any good at maths, because we should have added our two scores together to create the overall score, but we were so excited that we clearly just weren't thinking, and somehow we therefore ranked Wonka as the 49th best, or the second worst film that Hugh Grant has ever done. The good thing is that I had actually several messages, and we had lots of messages on Instagram telling us how stupid we were. So it's proof that people are actually still listening.
And they're engaged. Yeah. They're so engaged.
They're listening to the second last minute of the entire episode.
Yeah, exactly, which I do really rate. Well, then how about this? Because I wonder, even if we double it, I think mine might be different to yours. So I was wondering whether right now maybe we should... do it now. Should we do it now?
We should do, yeah.
So we ranked this. If you haven't heard our... We did 5 episodes ranking the 50 best and, I guess, worst Hugh Grant films and TV shows, all that sort of stuff. And we ranked them. We did it each. So there were 4 categories, and we both ranked them out of 5, put our scores together and found the average. The categories are: how much is Hugh in it? How good is Hugh in it? How sexy is Hugh in it? And what is the quality of the film overall? So... For Wonka, how much is Hugh in it? What would you give a score out of 5 for that?
3.
I would say 2, personally.
Okay, 2. I'm already worried that we're gonna mess this up again. I'm seriously worried, because I also added the scores up wrong. So I'm just getting a pen, because I don't want to mess this up.
Well, okay. Well, you can. By the way, you can say three. You know, okay. That's your score. So okay, mine would be two.
I'm going 2.5.
Okay. How good is Hugh in it? Now, I said three for this. What would you say?
That's shocking. That's absolutely shocking.
In Wonka, I think three is a respectable score. And also, may I just say, my reasoning for that is that half of his body, we only see his face really in it. The rest of his little body isn't his performance.
Okay, so, I'm saying 3.5. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's no, please do not apologize. This one we might agree on. How sexy is Hugh?
One.
I think one. Listen, gang, we're absolutely here for Hugh Grant. We think he's very sexy in this podcast. I think you can only give him one for his Oompa Loompa. I don't know. I'm sure now our engaged listeners are going to come back and tell us absolutely not. He's a hot piece of ass. And they're going to come back and say he should have been a five. but how about this then? Last one. Quality of the film overall, what would you say?
4.5.
I was going to give it a four. I think that's
you're great. A harsher critic than I am, DD.
But that's I'm the Simon Cowell of the podcast.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. But, I mean, Wonka for me was the best film I saw last year.
Well, that
straight up.
Could that have been due to the? Did you see Barbie?
Yes.
Interesting.
It's better than Barbie.
Wow, I love that. Love that. I'm trying to think what else was Hugh Grant in anything else last year? Am I just forgetting?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Come on. Did it beat Dungeons and Dragons? Maybe.
Look, I'm not as big a nerd as you, so...
Excuse me.
Mr. Nerd over here like Dungeons and Dragons more.
I don't believe it. So, okay, so that gives me a score of 10 for mine.
Gives me a score of 11.5.
Wonderful. So together, I'm trying to work out that maths. 21.5. Well, we've got to make sure we get this right because of last time. So where does that leave us?
Still not great. It leaves Wonka very much in the mid-30s. I think that makes him come in, makes Wonka come in at, is that 34th?
Yes, 30, maybe 35th, you know. I think it kicks out Glass Onion, where, you know, he was in the film and said
that's a shocking,
maybe one line.
That's awful. I'm sorry. And Death to 2020 was crap as well.
It was crap. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Well, there you go. He does beat things, you know, behemoths such as Operation Fortune, Rose de Guerre, an awfully shite adventure, Impromptu, Cloud Atlas, of course. But he does fall just shy of things like The Rewrite, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., 2 Weeks Notice. Good fun, though. Good fun. Well, we've righted that wrong. Is that right saying? Righted the wrong? Can one write? I guess so.
You write it wrong, yeah.
You can write it, but can it be righted? Can a wrong be righted? Who knows? Anyway, shut up. We have something to talk about here because we've got some big Hugh Grant news. The Regime, a new HBO show starring Hugh Grant from the executive producers and a writer of Succession, has just released its first episode of 6. Hugh Grant is due to be in this TV show, but he's going to be in, I believe, the last 4 episodes. So episodes 3 to 6. Episode 1 has just dropped. Oscar, what are your thoughts on this project? And I am so fascinated as to your thoughts on the first episode.
Well, Diggs, I mean, I feel like this project came up really fast. Like we were talking about this a little bit, like maybe a year ago in some of our Huge News content. It felt like a project that was way off. It didn't seem like something that was going to be on HBO, you know, in March 2024. And here it is. And suddenly, you know, we thought we were going to have a few months off here. We're back on talking about Hughes. So, I mean, I don't know really quite where to start here, because for a quick synopsis, Kate Winslet stars in The Regime and she's kind of like playing this authoritarian figure in this crumbling empire. And she's like from the first episode anyway, she's incredibly paranoid and she's worried that everything's going to crumble around her. But it's sort of like meant to be like a satire comedy. We can talk a little bit about whether she actually pulls that off or not. But from a Hugh Grant perspective, it's interesting because Kate and Hugh haven't starred together since your favorite film, Sense and Sensibility, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and Kate Winslet was 19 when she did Sense and Sensibility.
Wow.
So she has grown up. She's now 48. Obviously, Hugh's in his 60s, but, you know, that must have felt like a lifetime ago. But she had very glowing words to say about starring with Hugh again. And yeah, I'm excited to see what his character is going to be like. I mean, we saw a little bit of a snippet in the trailer. So I don't know what you made of that and what you're excited about over the next few episodes.
Well, I mean, obviously, what's really fun about this, I believe he's playing a character called Edward Kiplinger, who was the former chancellor. And so she's taken over as chancellor. So he's been out for 7 years. She's taken over chancellor of this nondescript European country. She looks like Angela Merkel, but she sounds like Margaret Thatcher, sort of. And she acts like Margaret Thatcher meets Vladimir Putin. She's a fascinating character. In terms of what I'm looking forward to with Hugh Grant, I'm really looking forward to that, because in this first episode, they mention the former chancellor, okay, Hugh Grant, a lot. And they're being like, yeah, fuck that guy. So glad he's out. Like, isn't this amazing? So it's interesting to see how he's going to come back into the show. It would be interesting to see how he's played, because right now they are very much building him up as perhaps a villain, or in some ways, because of this show, we're following a bit of an anti-hero, quite like Succession. Maybe Hugh Grant will actually cut like quite a nice guy, quite a heroic figure, someone who actually was in politics for the right reasons. Or are you not? Or is everyone in this world corrupt and is it terrible?
I can't see Hugh being a nice guy. There's no way. I think what actually he's going to present as a nice guy,
yes,
but he's got
so
dark motives underneath. That's what it's going to be. And the fact that he's been ousted, which I think is how he's been described, he's going to have some bitterness there. And I think he's going to try and stab Kate Winslet's character in the back and try and wrestle control, because that's what dictators do, don't they? They want power and control. And at the moment, Kate Winslet's character is hanging on to it. And I think Hugh will be able to smell that weakness.
Oh my God, you've got me gassed now. I hope so. Here's me just like thinking, oh, I hope he's a meek little character. But now I'm like, yeah, shit, he might play a major role in this. That's really exciting. It's also a limited series. I don't know if it'll... I think the idea is potentially that they won't do any more. It's meant to just be a one and done. Who knows? I mean, with these things, you'd imagine maybe not. But if it is, then you sort of think Hugh Grant, as is the case with often with these things, is that he likes... You know, he did Bridget Jones 2. But even then, he described that as putting on a pair of wet swimming trunks, aka, you know, you've done it once, no need to do it again. It's already done. You know, don't do it again. So I wonder whether his character also might meet an untimely end. We could assume such a thing. But Oscar, I must ask you, you've seen the first episode. What did you think of it?
Oh, I'm still sort of processing it in my mind. I think overall, I'm still largely unconvinced.
Yes. Yeah.
But I could see myself changing that opinion quite easily. There were elements to it that I did think were quite funny, but there were also elements to it where I thought were quite cringeworthy and sort of stupid, to be quite honest.
Yes.
I sort of understand what they're trying to do, particularly right now, as you know, we have a crazed dictator in Vladimir Putin, you know, holding Russia under his thumb. So there's an element of parallel worlds there with Kate's character, particularly as you know, and the fact that she's a woman is again an interesting take on the whole idea of a dictator, as they're normally men. Whether or not she pulls it off so far, I'm, like I said, slightly unconvinced, but it's going to be compelling viewing going forward.
I think so. So for me, when the episode started, I was really put out by this. It felt like sort of reality was thrown out of the window, and it was this weird, bizarre... I would honestly recommend people go and watch it. And I just thought to myself, now, what is the problem with this show? Because the writing... feels...
We can't go an episode without Digri saying that lie. What is the problem with this movie or this TV show?
Yeah. It's true. But I was like, is it the writing? Is it the acting? Is it this? Is it just bad? Is it this and that? And one of the awkward things is I said to myself, you know what? I think the direction's a bit odd. You know, they're really trying to do all the Dutch angles to make it be like, oh, look, it's all weird and it's all crazy. And I thought, and people... sort of their characters being a bit weird, and I thought, well, maybe it's the direction that's wrong. The director, you know, often with TV, it's smaller directors, they're not very good. Then the titles came up, which can I just say as well, the titles for an HBO show, I thought they were awful. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it was really so boring.
You think music back was crap. Or you know, these amazing title sequences from some of your favorite HBO shows. This was fucking dreadful. I couldn't tell you what the music was. I couldn't tell you what it sounded like. And also, weirdly, it almost is the Game of Thrones thing where it's like spanning over this empire, but it all looks really like... it looks like graphics from a PlayStation 2 game. It looks terrible, and it really was bad. But anyway, during these titles sequence, it said the director of the episode was Stephen Frears. Stephen Frears. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the director of A Very English Scandal. That is the director of Florence Foster Jenkins. This guy is no mug. He loves Hugh Grant. And I was like, oh God, maybe that's it. But what I would say is, at the halfway point, and I've mentioned Florence Foster Jenkins now, the halfway point of this, she sings a song. The Chancellor of this nondescript country gets up in front of a room of other politicians and other people and just starts singing. And it's... really? What did you think of that before I go? I mean, what did you make of that bit?
That's like struck something because there are so many parallels, aren't there, between Florence Foster Jenkins and this. It's like a woman who is completely delusional about her own ability, about, you know, she's a puppet, basically. She's a puppet for other people to run the show for her. Yeah, she gets up on stage at this gala dinner and basically is a terrible singer, but everyone, you know, everyone has to politely clap, and, you know, there's a few people rolling their eyes in the background, but she doesn't see that. Very, very similar to Florence Foster Jenkins, where, of course, Florence is a terrible opera singer who everyone kind of just pampers and convinces her that she is actually brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I couldn't quite believe it when I saw who the director was and then what was happening. But I have to say, for me, from that point, oddly, that point, I was like, we're at a real low point of this episode and it was already bad and I'm really unconvinced. From that point onwards, though, it gets a lot better. And there's another sort of central character who's this sort of disgraced army guy who's seemingly shot some civilians. It's quite dark. And everyone's sort of calling him the butcher and it's all quite, but he seems to be having this sort of really odd, quite romantic relationship with Kate Winslet's character. And actually, do you know what? By the end of the episode, I was like, there's a lot of questions here that need answering. And to be honest, when the episode started, I was like, I don't give a fuck about the answer to any of these questions. I'm surprised, but I'm not intrigued. By the end, I was like, I'm surprised and intrigued, which is actually quite good. So actually, I think it's looking up, but I have to say the reviews for it online are not as nice as we've been. And to be honest, I don't think we've been particularly nice. people aren't as taken.
Well, I mean, I think with any TV show, you shouldn't judge it on its first episode.
Agreed.
And the fact it's interesting that we're on the same page here, is that I felt like the last 20 minutes, I was fully concentrating and I was like, oh, this has got a bit of edge to it.
Yes.
I'm excited to some degree about the next couple of episodes. Obviously, because Hugh's going to be in. I might skip episode 2 and just come for episode 3.
Yeah. We'll get some synopsis time to do your synopsis for that. Exactly. For this episode 2. Yeah.
But it is, you know, like, I guess Kate Winslet, like, am I a fan? I've watched Titanic. I've watched Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah.
I can't say that, you know, I'm a huge fan, but it's cool that she's doing something like this, I think.
I have to say, I thought that even in that first half, that again, there were odd moments, but she plays an odd character. And for me, by the end of the episode, I came away and was like, she's class. And she actually is what I really enjoy about this, because it's a really hard character to play. She's a fucking nutcase. And you know what? I'm trying to liken it to other people that you would have seen on screen. And it's actually what's fun about this is that I can't. And actually, that's when I'm like, wow, well, we are really treading on uncharted territory here. And fair play to Kate Winslet, because that means she's got, it feels like there's so few reference points, at least for me, that she's just making up this new thing. And for me, it's working. By the end of the episode, I was like, this works. And I'm intrigued to see how this mad woman deals with this situation and these scenarios. And Hugh Grant's in it. So I'm excited for the rest, which I didn't think when I started the episode I'd be saying. But we also have a couple more up-and-coming projects, which we've got to make sure we're giving people the updates on because of how fast the regime came at us. So we have Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story. Since we last spoke about that, which is Jerry Seinfeld's directorial debut, set in Michigan, 1963, business rivals Kellogg's and Post compete to create a cake that could change breakfast forever. Now, I mean, very bizarre. But we've had our first like picture of that. And I mean, firstly, just to say as well, apparently Hugh Grant's going to be in it. We've seen a picture of him dressed as Tony the Tiger, you know, at some sort of funeral that has other like breakfast cereal behemoths at it, and then the picture. So what the fuck do you think is going to be? This is going to be like,
it's going to be batshit. I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm just wondering how Hugh has been roped into this one, because the more that we've done the podcast, the more it's become evident that, you know, like any walk of life, like it's your connections that get you parts or jobs, etc. Yeah. And a lot of Hugh's roles are because he has worked with someone before, etc. And they trust him, you know, Stephen Frears being the prime example.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how he's got the role here, because I can't imagine he's like mates with Jerry Seinfeld, but maybe he is.
Maybe they are. But to me, it feels like this is going to be in the Glass Onion side of things, where it's like Hugh will be in, I imagine, a dream sequence. Because like I say, these photos that we found, unfortunately, on that terrible rag, the Daily Mail, have their photos, you know, taken, looks like from paparazzi through the fucking bushes. And it's a load of it's a load of people dressed in what looks like a funeral scene. And there's other, like I say, other but big breakfast people there. I'm sure the Rice Krispies lads are there, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it seems to me like this would be some sort of dream sequence where they're all there, and then they take off their costumes or their helmets for a second, and Hugh Grant's like, ugh, bloody hell, it's hot in there. And, you know, maybe that would be what we get, but hopefully it's more. I really hope so.
I'm presuming this is going to be on the comedic side of things. We're not going to get like a sort of... We're not getting like the founder type movie, yes. Like the McDonald's, you know,
the McDonald's one. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not like, imagine that, like a very serious take on like breakfast cereals.
That would be amazing. I'm sad that I think it's going to be funny.
Yeah, it's got like Amy Schumer and people in it. So it's,
exactly. Yeah. But we don't have long to wait. It releases apparently in the US in May 2024, so, which is, you know, at this point, only a couple of months away. Which is actually crazy.
Jesus, yeah. May the 3rd, 2024 via Netflix.
Oh, that's good news for us.
Yeah, that is good news for us.
Wow. Interesting. Really interesting, that one. And then the other thing that he's doing is Heretic, which the plot remains under wraps, but it's rumored to follow two young women of religion who are drawn into a game of cat and mouse in the house of a strange man. I wonder who the strange man could be. I mean, that's still unconfirmed about who Hugh Grant plays in this, but he's the biggest name on the billing by some way. So I'm really hoping that he is indeed the strange man and it's not another cameo. But at the moment with this, there's really not much about it at all. The only thing I can say is it's written and directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, who did A Quiet Place. Oh, they co-wrote A Quiet Place with John Krasinski, the guy from The Office US.
I mean, the one scoop that we do have, Diggs, is that he was in British Columbia to film that. So I'm imagining that he is going to be in some kind of forest, sort of Twilight-esque type horror film where he's, you know, maybe it's going to be like Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
Where he's abducted by a grizzly bear and, you know, comes back to life.
Oh mate, I'm excited for it, whatever we have in store. But and it's so good that we can get that scoop. I forgot that your friend bumped into him, or didn't he see him?
I saw him on the street. Yeah, I was just walking down the street. Took a double take. Apparently he was on his way to the gym and he's like, "What the fuck is Hugh Grant doing here?"
Oh my god. That's our dream. That is literally our dream.
People bump into him the whole time. My friend bumped into him on the tube last year. He was just sitting there on the Piccadilly line, minding his own business.
I'm on the Piccadilly line. I should be seeing him there. He'll probably be going to Hammersmith.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, unbelievable. Well, you know what? Our only other thing that I can say is I may have said this on the podcast already, I'm sorry if I did, but I was listening to one of our old episodes. And for the big ranking, I was trying to remind myself what I thought of certain things. I thought I wasn't going to watch them all again. Sorry. And then I was walking along listening to us talking about Ben Whishaw and how Hugh Grant either wants to kill him or shag him or both in the films that they're in together. I'm walking down the road and Ben Whishaw, this bloke across the road looks at me, we lock eyes. He gives me a big smile and I walk on. And only when I'm walking, he has this big bushy beard. And I walk on, I'm like, oh my God, that was Ben Whishaw. If I had realized who it was, if he didn't have the beard, I would have had to have stopped and gone, I'm so sorry. I literally, 30 seconds ago, I was talking about you on a podcast and I've just seen you. I've willed you into existence. And also, he looked at me and gave me the biggest smile. And it was like, so I would have felt so much more comfortable going up to him being like, Ben, please, can I just get you saying this on my phone? Hi, I'm Ben Whishaw, and you're listening to Taking You For Granted. That would have been so good. But anyway.
Sometimes these encounters are so like fleeting. Yeah. It is like a ghost, isn't it? You know, you just come in and they come in and out of screen and you don't even realize until you take the double take. You're like, wait.
That was him. That was Hugh Grant. That was Ben Whishaw. And I would have run down the road after him, but I was like, you know what? That's weird. At that point, it gets weird. It does get weird. I think if we'd locked eyes, he'd smiled and I'd run across the road. That's one thing. But 30 seconds later, clocking who he was and then running back, that would have been strange. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's you up to date with all the Hugh Grant news, unless there's anything else, Oscar.
No, I don't think there's anything else apart from, you know, the Academy Awards, the Oscars are coming up. So will we see Hugh make an appearance? Probably not. I think he feels comfortable about making silly jokes at the BAFTAs. Maybe the Oscars is a bit like, too big for him.
It's true. And you've got to be careful making jokes at the Oscars because you might get slapped by Will Smith. So, fair enough that no one else wants to go up there again. Well, by the time people hear this podcast, it'll probably be all done. So they'll know whether or not Hugh Grant has won anything. although I'm going to go out on a whim and say maybe he won't have.
It's hard to win something when you're not nominated.
Yeah, well, don't rub it in. Don't say it so black and white like that.
Look, he's in the regime and he's in Pop-Tarts this year, so his Oscar's coming next year for sure.
Yes, and he's in Pop-Tarts. God, that just feels so weird to say. His career is so funny. I love it. I love it so much.
But Wonka could win an Oscar for something, to be fair. So at least he might have been in a film that wins an Oscar.
Everyone keep your fingers crossed. Again, by the time you hear this, you'll know whether Wonka won anything or not. And I think, please, just as always, look us up on all the socials. We're at Taking You For Granted pretty much everywhere. We're at Taking You
On Twitter,
though.
Yeah, the Instagram's been popping off.
It has. We've got every bot on the website. It's just coming for us and is liking all of our pictures, sending us pictures of their boobs. It's cracking stuff on there. So get involved in that. And we can all have a good time on there. And then, just keep getting involved, everyone. We'll be back in a few weeks, I guess, to review The Regime. We've done all episodes. Synopsis Simon will come back to do a little synopsis for everyone, so don't worry if you haven't watched it. But until then, let's just get bloody excited as well for Pop-Tarts, which will come out very soon.
Yeah, it's exciting. We got two things on the horizon, so keep your podcast apps open for us.
Exactly, and keep your eyes peeled for Hugh Grant. He could be walking on your street or on your tube or in your woods, being chased by a bear on cocaine. We will see you next time, everyone. Bye.
Bye. This is the end of Kiss News.
We have these two very important news about Hugh Grant.
Yes, news.
And everything is very
yes, news.
And now it's time to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Hugh's News is a Taking Hugh for Granted production and is produced, edited and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.